And with eagerness and anticipation, the Lord has laid a message on my heart that I believe He really wants you to hear. And first of all, I'd like to acknowledge some visitors that came today. In the back there, we have Aaron. Aaron, raise your hand. Aaron is retired Army, served in Iraq. And somewhere over here, we have a scoundrel by the name of Don Hill. Where is he? Don, raise your hand. He what? Oh, okay. Okay, well, when you see a guy come in wearing an eye patch, it's Don Hill. He is a retired highway patrol and also a homicide detective for the Tucson PD. And we have Janet here, who's stayed the night with us last night. She's a financial advisor from Tucson. And, of course, my wife, Jan. So, are there any other visitors here today? Anybody else visiting? First time. All right. Praise the Lord. Where are you from? From Sabarita? Yeah. Okay. And anybody else? All right. There. Where are you from? Oh, okay. Long way. And here? California. All right. Well, let's welcome them. Welcome. And there's Don Hill just sneaking in the back door. All right. Now, I'm going to make some remarks this morning, and I don't want you to think that they're political. They're not. They're because I'm not speaking as a Democrat or a Republican or any other political party. I'm speaking to you as a Christian and one who believes in the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of the Word? And we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 37, 38, and 39. Look at me when you're there. Romans 8, 38. All right, I think most of us are there. And let's begin. For in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we pray that Your Word will penetrate deep, that it is going to sever even the soul and the spirit. Lord, we pray that it will have a deep effect upon each and every one of us, that we may be moved to go forth in strength and in power with encouragement, knowing that You go before us. And Lord, may Your name ever be praised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to be speaking to you today, and the remarks may be considered by some to be political. They're not, okay? Because they are indeed the Word of God. Now, there is a fallacy in our society today where Christians are regarded as intolerant because they believe that the Word of God is true, inerrant, and totally, completely reliable and sufficient for all of godliness. And they believe that you're intolerant because you believe that as Christians. And that the world teaches that we all beliefs are of equal dignity. And if we believe that one belief is more correct than another, we are indeed intolerant and politically incorrect. Notice how I whispered when I covered the mic, right? But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is true, And the Word of God is correct, and the Word of God can be relied upon. And if you rely upon anything else, you're on shifting sand. Do you hear me? You're on shifting sand. Now, why is this important? It's important because there is an event on the horizon that's approaching us like a freight train, coming with colossal speed, and it's unstoppable. And this event will change the world forever. This event is the rapture. And it's coming soon. I don't know when. I'm not Mr. Camping. I can't make prophecies like that. But it's coming soon because the signs are there. And Jesus says you can discern the signs of the time. Now, why? Why is this important? It's important because the fulfillment of prophecy is the proof of the truth of the Word of God. Only someone who is eternal knows the end from the beginning. Only someone who knows everything can tell you what's going to happen accurately. And only the Bible has fulfilled prophecy. No other book in the world has fulfilled prophecy. The Quran has one prophecy which Muhammad was able to self-fulfill that said Muhammad would return to Medina. Whoopee. That's it. No other book in the world has fulfilled prophecy, only the Bible. That means the Bible was written by God. That means you can trust it. Now, the message today had to do with living in an apostate world. How do we do that? I'm convinced the United States was blessed because we lived according to godly Christian principles. We evangelized the world at one time. And God blessed us for that. He blessed us like no other nation has ever been blessed, except maybe Judah. But we no longer do that. We are no longer a Christian nation, I'm sorry to say. And we're living in an apostate world. It's been said that the greatest problem in the United States today is the apostasy in the pulpit and apathy in the pew. Now, I praise God that we attend the church where we don't have that, where we don't have apostasy in the pulpit. I praise God that we have a pastor that preaches the Word, pure and adulterated, and is not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to give you the Word of God. I got an email from him yesterday about homosexuality. It's a sin, folks. Right? It's a sin. The first message I heard him preach had to do with alcohol. And we don't use the word alcoholism as Christians because it's a choice. It's not a disease. Would God send somebody to hell because they had a disease? If somebody had a broken arm, would God send them to hell? No. Somebody had diabetes. Would God send them to hell because he had diabetes? No. But the Word of God says, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. That means it's a sin, it's not a disease. It's a choice. 17 druids don't take some guy to the ground and pry his mouth open and pour alcohol in. Right? It's a disease, and this pastor preaches the truth. So are we living in an apostate world? Did we have a sexual revolution in the 60s? Maybe you don't remember that. I'm approaching 7 decades. So I remember that. I lived through it. Drug use? Huh? Look at the court's calendar. You see any drug cases? In 1962, we took God and we threw him out of our schools. And what do we have as a result? Rebellion? How about Columbine? And we wonder why we had something like Columbine when we threw God out of our schools. And you remember, I don't know if you know the prayer that the Supreme Court said was evil. The prayer that children said was something like, "Dear God, please bless our teachers." How heinous. How heinous. want our teachers to get blessed. Do we have abortion on demand? Why do you think Social Security is in trouble today? You know, in the year 2015, it was predicted that Social Security would pay out more than it received. That was the prediction. That happened in 2010. Social Security is in trouble. Why? Because 60 million workers are not contributing. Why? Because they were murdered in their mother's wombs and they're not part of the workforce today. Horrible movies. Indeed, it's hard to find a movie nowadays where they don't use the F word. Homosexual lifestyle is regarded as acceptable, and some denominations are even ordaining active homosexual ministers. Do I need to go on? We are living in an apostate world. Now, what happens when a country does this kind of thing? In the past, in the Bible, we see that God does three things with a nation like that. He's not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of nations. And the first thing God does when a nation begins to go astray is he sends prophetic voices to them to call them to repentance. You see that over and over and over again in the Bible. Remember Jonah? Right? Jonah hated Nineveh. Nineveh was one of the most evil countries that ever existed. And what happened with Jonah? God says, go, tell them I'm going to wipe them out if they don't repent. And Jonah said, wipe them out, Lord. I ain't going there. Jonah ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Can you imagine what it was like? Huh? Finally, Jonah got the point. Some poor fisherman's walking along the beach, right? And this huge critter comes up, and out comes Jonah, right? He's probably bleached white, you know, from the acid, no hair, no clothes, you know. And he says, God's going to get you. And what happened? The king repented in sackcloth and ashes. And he repented, and God did not wipe them out. They heeded the prophetic voices sent to them. And Nineveh lasted another 100 and some odd years before Nahum was sent to them. They didn't heed Nahum, and God wiped them out. Have we had any prophetic voices in this country? David Wilkerson. Remember David Wilkerson? You ever hear the name? Crossing the Switchblade? He was the darling of the charismatic movement, right? He had this huge movie, great book. And what happened? David Wilkerson wrote and said, this country needs to repent. And suddenly David Wilkerson was no longer popular. He was removed. We had other voices. Don Wildman regarding pornography. Chuck Smith. John MacArthur. Jerry Falwell. Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, Jay Adams. You ever hear of Jay Adams? Maybe you don't know about Jay Adams. Jay Adams was regarded as the founder of the biblical counseling movement. Very highly regarded by Calvary Chapel, by the way. And he was a professor of psychology, a PhD in psychology. And he began to think about it, and he said, you know, the principles of psychology are diametrically opposed to Christianity. Psychology says, we're okay except if somebody messes with us. Christianity says, we're fallen. We're sinners. We need a Savior. So Jay Adams repented and started a counseling movement that uses only biblical principles. I think he was alerted by David Wilkerson with the Teen Challenge movement, which only used biblical principles in the beginning. I don't want to get into that too much, but Teen Challenge had an unprecedented level of success with teen drug and alcohol counseling, well into the 90%. So successful compared to any other program, which was clunking along at 8 or 12%, that it was studied by the U.S. government to find out why. And David Wilkerson left Teen Challenge, started the Times Square Church, turned the Teen Challenge movement over to his brother, who began to incorporate into it principles of Christian counseling, which is nothing more than secular counseling with an occasional scripture sprinkled in. And the success rate of Teen Challenge fell to 8 to 12%, the same as any other program. In 1970, there was a study in the New England Journal of Medicine called the Somerville Youth Study, where they took 500 troubled youths and followed them intensely for 5 years. 250 got intensive psychotherapy, 250 got nothing. At the end of 5 years, they looked at these youths, and the 250 that got nothing were doing slightly better than the 250 that got the intensive psychotherapy. To me, that means the success rate of secular counseling is statistically zero. The success rate of biblical counseling, it depends on the person. If they decide to go God's way, then their success rate is 100%. In 15 years of biblical counseling, Jan had, through the Holy Spirit, for everyone that elected to go God's way, had 100% success rate in counseling. We're talking drug counseling, we're talking marriage counseling, we're talking parent-child counseling, employer-employee counseling, all kinds of relationship counseling. Those people that elect to go God's way succeed. She had people successfully reunite whose divorce had been final for over a year. It depends on you, and it depends on whether or not you elect to go God's way. So prophetic voices. Have we had prophetic voices calling us to repentance? You bet. And what happens if the country fails to heed the prophetic voices? God sends remedial judgments. Remedial judgments to let them know that they are doing wrong and they need to repent. Deuteronomy 28 lists these remedial judgments. We have economic failures, rebellion of the youth, the epidemic of divorce, confusion in the government, foreign domination. Foreign domination, okay? What is the national debt? $14 trillion? Huh? Trillion. Who owns it? Mainly China. Military defeats. I seem to remember something called Vietnam. Natural disasters. Crop failures. Pestilences and diseases. All that's in Deuteronomy. If a nation refuses to repent, then a point is reached called the point of no return. The wound that will not heal. Nahum 3:19, Jeremiah 30:12, Micah 1:9. When the nation reaches this point of no return, God delivers the nation, takes the nation to destruction, destroys the nation. Could be sudden, like it was with Nineveh and Babylon and the Soviet Union, or it could be gradual or slow, like it was with the Roman Empire. But God takes it to destruction. Now, before destruction, we're going to see remedial judgments. Have we seen any remedial judgments in the United States? Any pestilence or diseases that have sprung up? How about AIDS? Epidemic proportion among the homosexual population. Any other diseases? 65 million Americans have an incurable STD. And an additional 15 million each year are added to that number. 55% of the illegal drugs consumed in the world are consumed in the United States, and we represent 5% of the world's population. Military defeats. Directly after the sexual revolution in the 60s, we had Vietnam, a war we could not win. We're not doing real hot in Afghanistan, are we? What about divorce? 60% of the children in the United States are being raised in single-family homes. Unless you think too highly of Arizona, you should know that Arizona has the highest divorce rate in the entire nation. What about economic problems? Janet, do we have any economic problems? In the year 2010, 1 million Americans lost their homes. 2011 is projected to be worse. The national debt, as we said, is over $14 trillion. You know, that's $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the nation. I bet you didn't know you had a $100,000 debt, did you? 50% of the gross national product is going to service the interest on that debt. Remedial judgment? Remember the stock market crash in 2008? I bet you didn't know how much it fell. It fell 777 points. 666 is the number of man. 777 is regarded as being the number of God. It was a judgment. The bulk of that national debt is owed to China. And they're now starting to divest themselves of this debt, refusing to buy more. Where are we going to get the money to service this debt? And they're starting to sell their currency in competition with the U.S. dollar. Most of the property owners in the state of Hawaii are Japanese nationals. Social Security paid out more in 2010 than it took in, which wasn't supposed to happen until 2015. Matter of fact, in the year 2040, with the projected baby boomer birth, it is projected that Social Security will be obligated to pay out more than the projected gross national product of the United States. And again, a large problem of that with Social Security is the loss of 60 million workers not paying into it. Okay, moving on. Do we see any confusion in government? What about natural disasters as remedial judgments? Now, not all natural disasters are remedial judgments sent by God, okay? And the thing you have to look at is, what is the timing of the event, okay? Before we look at those, I want to cover one more thing about the transformation of the U.S. into a secular nation. Many mainline denominations, many of them, are substituting psychology for God's word. They're replacing sin with the concept of unwise choices. They're replacing repentance with positive self-image. In short, what we have in the United States today is a lot of religion. Now, Jan and I have traveled the nation. We have been in churches of every denomination. And what we have found, I'm sorry to tell you, is a denial of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit. The United States has become the pornographic capital of the world, exporting its filth everywhere and polluting the moral atmosphere of the entire planet. The 9/11 attack, what did they attack? What were they? God, you know, nothing happens without God's approval. What were they allowed to attack and what did they not succeed in attacking? The Twin Towers and the Pentagon. And the attack on the White House failed, plowed into a field in Pennsylvania, right? Twin Towers, what do they represent? Money. One of the gods of the United States today, I'm afraid. And the Pentagon. Power. The other god of the United States today. They were allowed to attack our two gods and damage them. Just as that idol fell over, remember? The attack on the White House, we had just elected a Christian president, and the attack on the White House failed. Did you ever think of that? Okay. What natural disasters might be considered a remedial judgment. How many of you remember the name Northridge and an earthquake in the north part of L.A.? Right? Anybody know where Northridge is? It's in the San Fernando Valley, right? Do you know what Northridge was famous for at that time? It was the porno capital of California. Produced more pornographic films than any other part of the state. And it was wiped out. In Genesis 12, God says he will bless them, talking about Israel, that bless you and curse them that curse you. And it says if you touch Israel, you touch the apple of the eye. I'm convinced that many remedial judgments happened in the United States because of the way we have treated Israel. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there was a tiny nation of Israel that was overwhelmed by refugees. So they made application with the World Bank for a loan of $5 billion. And the World Bank said, we will grant you this money for these refugees only if the United States agrees to underwrite it. The United States said, we will underwrite it, but only if you agree to land for peace, to surrender land for peace. This suicidal policy of appeasement. So we began to put pressure on Israel. In October 30, 1991, the Madrid conference took place. This was the beginning of this land for peace thing. October 30, 1991, also marked a very unusual event. There was a coincidence of several storms in the North Atlantic on October 30, 1991, that formed what's called the perfect storm. There was waves of 100 feet in height. Destroyed one ship. There was a movie about it. We had a friend that was an actor in that movie. The waves also destroyed President Bush's home, not destroyed, but damaged President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. The headlines on the next day, November 1st, 1991, had them side by side, the Madrid conference and the perfect storm. And nobody made a connection. It's like a guy that's asleep and the alarm goes off and he reaches over and hits the snooze button. That's what we've been like. June 1992, we had round six of the bilateral peace talks. Yitzhak Rabin, who was the Prime Minister of Israel, was elected. We immediately insisted that he come to the United States and meet with Yasser the Rat Arafat. On the very day that meeting began, Hurricane Andrew slammed into the United States with speeds of 177 miles an hour. Damages were over $30 million. It was the worst, most costly hurricane ever up to that point. Okay, the year 2000, June 11 through June 24, President Clinton hosts a summit conference between Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and the Palestinian Authority, where he pressured Israel to surrender the heartland of Israel. On those precise dates, June 11 through July 24, the year 2000, a major heat wave struck the United States. Fires broke out all over the western states, and at one time there were over 50 active fires that consumed over 500,000 acres. November 7, 2002, President Bush hosted a dinner at the White House to honor the Muslim holiday called Ramadan. During his speech, he said, quote, "This season commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. Today, this word inspires Muslims to lead lives of honesty, integrity, and compassion. And we see Islam as a religion that traces its origins back to the call of Abraham." Unquote. 2 days later, 88 tornadoes struck Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Hello? April 30, 2003, the Middle East Peace Plan. U.S. Ambassador Daniel Kirchner presented the roadmap to peace to the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. It was a plan that was drawn up by an ungodly coalition of the United States, the UN, the European Union, and Russia. And it was a call for Israel to surrender the Gaza Strip. Okay? Gaza Strip is the lower part on the Mediterranean. And its heartland in Samaria and Judea to the Palestinians. That's April 30, 2003. On May 3, 2003, Secretary of State Colin Powell departed to implement the plan, and on May 4th, he met with a terrorist leader, Hafez Assad. And Colin Powell made an assurance and a commitment to this terrorist that the Golan Heights would be included in this deal. I don't know if you know anything about the Golan Heights, but they're on the west, they're on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. They overlook Nazareth and the whole heartland growing area, primarily bananas, believe it or not, plantations. And the Arabs used to shell this area. They'd see a farmer out there with a tractor, working his fields, and they'd launch artillery shells at him. The Seven-Day War, Israel conquered the Golan Heights, and this deal with Colin Powell included a deal to turn this back to the Arabs. Okay, that's May 4th, 2003. On that very day, a swarm of tornadoes began to tear into the United States. Over the next 7 days, a total of 412 tornadoes struck our country, the largest tornado swarm ever. Previous record was 177. So, you know, are we listening, folks? In summary, we had nine of the ten, between October 1991 and November 2004, we had nine of the 10 largest insurance events that ever struck the United States. We had nine of the 10 greatest natural disasters as ranked by FEMA. We had five of the costliest hurricanes. We had three of the four deadliest storms or tornadoes. And all were directly linked to the pressure on Israel to give up land and control. One of the most horrible events of the first decade of this century was the Gaza withdrawal that occurred in the summer of 2005. From August 7th through August 22, 9,000 Israelis were uprooted from their home and forced to leave. Some of them had lived there for 35 years. Women and children were manhandled. Synagogues were violated. Torah scrolls were desecrated. Houses were bulldozed. Graves were dug up. And farms were destroyed. The entire Jewish communities were removed. The economic impact on Israel was enormous. 70% of Israel's organic produce was eliminated. 60% of their exported herbs was eliminated. 15% of their total agricultural products was eliminated. 60% of their cherry tomato crop was eliminated. And $120 million in flour exports removed. While this was going on, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice began to apply more pressure, saying, "It can't be Gaza only." The very next day, the government of Bermuda announced the formation of a tropical depression. Not unusual for that time of year. Normally, it takes 2 to 3 weeks for a tropical depression to become a full-blown hurricane, right? 3 days later, the most powerful hurricane in modern history, Hurricane Katrina, slammed into New Orleans. It destroyed New Orleans. Just as they were about to have their annual man-gay love festival called the Gay Mardi Gras, it disrupted 25% of our crude oil production and it destroyed our nation's largest port. It resulted in a significant increase in our national debt and shamed us before the world in the way that we handled it. And it deeply scarred the Bush administration, which forced this Gaza withdrawal. President Bush, by the way, is a believer in the replacement theory. I don't know if you know what that is, but the replacement theory says, well, the prophecies regarding Israel are no longer applying to Israel. They apply to the church because the church has replaced Israel. Okay. Now, I could go on. I'll just cite one more. Jeff and I are familiar with this. We had a conversation about it when it happened. Recently, the government of the United States, at the insistence and urging of the president, repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Remember that? You talked about it, right, Jeff? And I said to Jeff, there's going to be a remedial judgment as a result of this, because what it does is elevate homosexuality into an acceptable lifestyle. And the word says it's not. The word says it's sin and perversion and an abomination. And Jeff agreed with me. He says, yes. So we just sat back to see what happened. And guess what happened? One of the worst winter storms, two of them, coincided and dumped feet of snow all over the Northwest, all the way down the Atlantic seaboard. Matter of fact, day before yesterday, every state in the Union except Florida had snow on the ground. Birds fell out of the sky dead. Fish, they don't know why. Fish came out of the river dead. Crabs came up dead. Nobody knows why. And in Florida, the state that didn't have snow, the citrus crop was frozen solid. Well, the timing. I'm convinced that because of the timing, it was a remedial judgment of God for the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, elevating homosexuality to an acceptable lifestyle. Okay, what do we do? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember? We have to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. And He will heal our nation. What do we need to pray for? One, we need to pray for our nation as never before. We need to pray for every elected official, from the city council up to the highest senator. We need to pray for every judge, from the municipal judge or the city court all the way up to the Supreme Court. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for all of our elected officials. That's one. Two, we need to pray for ourselves, that God will search our heart and find any wicked way within us, that we may go forth. Folks, these remedial judgments mean the destruction of our nature, our nation, is imminent. It's imminent. Now, God's going to do what God's going to do. It's our job to be obedient. It's our job to spread the good news. I can't say for sure, but it seems logical. One of the ways the United States could be destroyed, and you don't find it in end-time prophecy, do you? Not really. Not unless you really do some stretching. Would be the rapture. Because if the rapture occurred, what would happen to the infrastructure of the United States? It would be severely crippled if every Christian in the United States was taken away, in the military, in the city government, in churches, gone, charities. It would be a disaster for the United States. Of course, they would probably try to explain it as being, you know, alien abductions to re-educate these intolerant folks, you know. I don't know. But we got to pray. We got to pray for ourselves, because we have to first get the log out of our own eye so that we may be able to clearly see. Remember that nothing, neither height nor depth nor any created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So we've heard some bad news, but here's the good news. We win. Right? We win. But we must do our part. We must be faithful. Now, maybe there's some here today that don't know for sure that if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. They don't know for sure if the rapture occurred now that they would be taken up. Maybe they have some doubts. Maybe they, you know, they're still working on it. Okay? So we're going to pray in a minute. And Pastor and Karen are going to come up here and pray with me, and Jan's going to come up and be with me. And we're going to pray. And at that time, you'll have an opportunity to raise your hand. We will not embarrass you, okay? We're not going to dunk you in a horse trough and baptize you, you know? But you will have an opportunity to know for sure, because the Bible says that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. All right? Okay, so let's bow our heads and pray. And Pastor, would you come up, please? Heavenly Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our elected officials. We pray for our judges. We pray for everyone that's in a position of authority. And we pray that you will guide them and direct them and fill them and be with them and give them wisdom and discernment and insight in the performance of their duties. We pray that each and every one of them who is not a Christian will be overcome by the Holy Spirit, will be convicted of their sins, and will come to a full and complete saving grace. Now, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you will search our heart and show us any wicked way within us, that we may repent and that we may be good servants, pleasing in your sight. Now, Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know for sure that if they died right now, they would go to heaven, we ask that you encourage them to raise their hand that they may know for sure. Now, nobody looking around, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If there's anyone here that doesn't know for sure that you're going to heaven right now if you die, would you raise your hand? Just slip it up. Just slip it up. All right. Now, if there's anyone here that has a particular prayer need, a health need, or a financial need, a relationship need, if there's anyone here that has that kind of need, just raise your hand up. Slip it up. We'll pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. All right. You can put it down. Now, Father, we don't know what those needs are, but we do know that they are very present. And, Lord, we pray that you will bless them. We pray that you will surround them with a hedge of angels. And we pray that you will meet their needs. Your word says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. And Lord, we claim that promise right now and ask that you meet those needs. And we claim a promise for this church, Lord, and pray that you will meet the needs of this church, that you will encourage the people that are working. We pray for their safety as they work on the church. And we pray for smoothness in moving through the bureaucratic procedure to establish this church. Now, Lord, all of these things we lift up to you and we turn them over to you because you're the one in control. You're the one that has the authority. We look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the author and the finisher of us. It's in you we trust, and it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we ask. Amen. Amen. Anybody needing prayer needs, come on up and talk to us. We'll be happy to pray for you.